Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
It is just audio day here on the Talking Real Money podcast. No video for you today, so I don't need to look into the camera like I am. I'm not sure why I'm doing that.
Loosening my tie.
Because there is no need. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Talking Real Money, the podcast. This is the one we do in the middle of the week, talking about things that might have some bearing on your financial life. And if they don't, sorry, maybe we'll get it right the next one. I'm Don McDonald in Florida, where it's, by the way, really, really cold.
Yeah, how cold is it?
It got down to 40 degrees last night. Yes.
I think it might be colder than it was here. I woke up, I think it was 46.
Oh, my goodness. We're like,
how could that
shivering.
Be possible?
Yeah, I wore a fur coat out there with a hood and mask.
But wait,
big old
fake
mittens.
Fur, right? Not real fur?
Oh, no. I'm killing the coyotes in the neighborhood and making coats out of them.
What about that alligator? You sent me the picture of that alligator that other day.
You do a little alligator inside. You do a little little rack. No, do it the other way. Alligator outside, a little coyote inside. It's nice and fuzzy. No, today, seriously, at like earlier today at like noon, I'm looking out in the front yard, and I see skittering down the alley.
What?
The alley in a relatively suburbanized area.
Yeah, I can attest to this.
The coyote. We now have an official neighborhood coyote. Wow. It runs down the alley, broad daylight, into some bushes. We know why the coyote is there.
Why?
Because we have the neighbors across the street.
The
neighbor across
hides
the
or
street,
something?
No, she's a cat person.
Ah, so it's coming for a little
and
breakfast.
Florida has a problem with this thing called feral cats.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And so she feeds the feral cats.
And then the next thing and up
leaves
on
the food, leaves the food out
chain.
For the feral cats, and the coyotes go,
that smells good.
Well, that's easy dinner. I'm going to get some of that. Maybe I'll get a cat while I'm there.
Why not? They're tasty,
so
too.
So they've been taking out some neighborhood cats.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got coyotes around here, but we live in the middle of nowhere. You could expect that.
Well, yeah, you're not in a highly
bears.
Suburban. We've got alleys. Do you have alleys? You don't have alleys.
I got a kind of a fake one on the west side of the house over there, but it doesn't go between anything.
Oh, yeah, we have bears. We have wild turkeys. The problem is we live right on the edge of this wetlands. In the rest of the world, they call them swamps.
Yes, they do.
And this wetland actually literally connects to the Everglades.
Ooh. Have you ever taken one of those airboats? I always wanted to do that one.
No, I haven't. And I've lived here for 25 years.
Okay, I am coming to see you, and we're getting on an airboat. That's all cool.
And you know, I also have friends who fly what was the later in the war single engine aircraft? Later in World War II, the
P-51?
Is that the really fast one?
Yeah.
Single engine?
Yes.
Yeah, they've got Mustang?
Yes.
Yeah, they've got several of those that they fly down the airport.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, would you like to go for a ride?
I would, yes.
Yeah.
Can we strafe South Florida? Is that okay?
I think they're unarmed.
Oh, dang it. No fun of any kind.
Plenty of people strafing South Florida as it is. We don't have to add to the carnage.
That's a good point.
Is there something
about money we're going to do today, or is this just going to be Don
well,
and Tom?
Eventually, we're going to pick on Chuck Jaffe.
Ah, poor old Chuck. Yes, okay.
We like Chuck.
Yeah, we do.
We just don't always agree with Chuck. Yeah. Chuck is anything for a buck. Chuck in his column.
No, today I think he's up Chuck, but that's just me. He's regurgitating a lot of things I don't think should be regurgitated, but that's
well,
my take.
You know, when you're writing columns every week,
you gotta come up with stuff. Yeah,
you gotta come up with stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, I find it hard enough to write a column once a month.
Yes, I know, but you do when you do it. You do
no
it
once
really
a quarter.
Well.
I do once a quarter.
Okay.
So anyway, so Chuck wrote a column recently about
how to
lessons.
Deal with the five financial conditions most forecast for 2022.
Yeah, yeah, that's the 2022 thing. So these are things that people, see if I get this straight, Tom. These are things that experts, I'm using my little handy dandy air quotes.
Yes, you are.
That experts are saying will happen based on their incredible knowledge of the future in 2022. Is that right?
And how you should deal with them.
Okay, so how you should deal with things that are certain to happen, but according to us, probably, well, won't necessarily happen because nobody knows the future.
How you might react to each of them, in the words of Chuck.
Please
number
share
one,
with, share
number
with
one
us.
Is heightened inflation.
Okay, that's an easy call for early in the year because we had it the end of the year, so we'll probably have some inflation. Mm-hmm. We just don't know how long it'll last.
Yeah, I mean, so they're saying inflation hit 7% in 2021. It hit that. This is a little misleading. I don't know for the year what
it was
7%.
It was not 7% for the year.
Yeah, I think
it was
one of the
annualized
last few months.
For the fourth quarter at 7%.
Yeah, which is, again, misleading. Nobody knows what's going to happen to inflation. Everybody hates inflation, of course, because nobody likes to pay more for things.
No,
right?
No. A lot of older fixed income investors, they're going to love inflation eventually because it's going to get those interest rates back up.
Well,
even their money is going to go
thank
away.
Thank you for raising that because that brings me to number two, higher interest rates. Won't it be nice when the 10-year treasury bond pays crazy, like 2% a year? Oh, well, and it's very close to that after today's little debacle on Wall Street. So higher interest rates?
You just dated our show.
Nobody knew which day we're
watching the coyote.
Okay, no one else will date it. So, I mean, here's the thing. Higher interest rates, we don't know, though. And you mentioned this in one of recent shows. How long have people been saying interest rates have to go up?
Well, I know for a fact because I've been following them since 2011.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, longer than they said the Denver Broncos have to win the World Series, right?
Super Bowl.
I'm kidding. Higher interest rates. Okay, we'll come back to that. Here's the one that drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Increased volatility.
Yeah, I can see why this one would drive you nuts. Volatility is a constant. It's a constant
every
on Wall
day.
Street.
It's
constant.
There's nothing.
But it's one of those things that's more fun to predict because you could say, "Oh, well, last year it was up. Now this year it's going to be maybe more up and down."
Yeah, I mean, okay, I guess we could go look at the VIX and see what the VIX was on average for 2021 and see if the VIX will be higher on average in 2022. It's one of those things that's meaningless anyway, because if you're an investor, a long-term investor, increased volatility means nothing. It's just that's the day-to-day background. What you care about is over the long haul, what you make in the securities you own.
And I hate the smell of the VIX. I really can't stand that smell.
I'm gonna
hate
rub it in for you right now.
My wife's always like, "Here, you want some VIX?" And I go, "Oh, I'm volatile enough. Thank you."
I don't need any more. Okay, here's another one.
What?
I don't know how they predict this, but slowing growth. Growth numbers at both corporate and economy levels are curious right now, he says. They reflect the full stop conditions of the early pandemic in 2020 and the reopening, rebuilding economy of 2021. Now it's time, says Chuck, for that activity to normalize. Who knows?
What does that mean, even?
Exactly.
What is normal?
And we're into the biggest spike now of the COVID.
Yeah, well.
I mean, people think it's behind them, but reality is more people are getting sick today than ever.
Part of what's behind that, though, is this mentality. And this is something we talk about a lot, the zero-sum mentality. So the market's been giving and giving and giving and giving. It eventually has to revert to the mean and take away, take away, take away.
Again, and this, I think our friend Weston Wellington wrote about this. We talked about it in a recent broadcast and podcast. Somehow it feels like because prices are up, that there has to be a strong wind to keep them up. There's nothing to do with that. And nobody knows what the growth. We'll get into what people know and don't know, which brings me to the next one. Lower investment returns. The S&P 500 has averaged 25% gains over the last 3 years, which is 2.5 times historic norms.
Mm-hmm.
Can't continue. Well, sure, it can.
Why
continue.
Can't? Why can't it continue? If earnings keep up with the growth in prices, then it can't. Let's say, for example, we have, after COVID dies out, one of the most robust economic periods in the history of the world. Is it possible? I'm not saying it's going to happen. I don't predict. But is it possible? Of course it's possible. And if that happens, won't that justify the increases over the past several years plus some?
And
possibly?
I think believe that they said the same thing in 95 through 99. It can't go up again.
Mm-hmm.
Sure it can. Well, and by the way, even after
it went up again.
Well, no, but from 95 through 99, it was better than this period of time than we've just had the last 3 years. Number two, remember, even in the early 2000s, when stocks had a difficult time, some stocks still did, I mean, small, value, and international. So you still did okay in that period of time. But let's break these down one at a time. Don, can we, should we expect increased volatility in 2022? And what do we do about it? How do we react to that?
One, I have no idea. Will it be volatile? Market's always volatile. How do we react? Sorry to bore you, but the same way we always react. You build the right portfolio. There you go. Wow, that was easy.
Number two, will growth, economic growth, corporate profitable corporate profits and economic growth slow in 2022?
I have an idea. Ask me all five questions at the same time.
Will we have lower returns of equities in 2022?
Just keep going, because I think I
and
got the answer.
And let's see, I forgot the earlier ones. I got to go back and find them.
It doesn't matter.
Will inflation be heightened?
I have my answer.
Yes.
We don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. You don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. Nobody has a clue. We don't know if any of those things will happen. We don't know that anything is going to be different or that everything isn't going to be different. We have no clue. All we know is that you can build a portfolio designed for your risk, need, and tolerance, and then you just live with it because you're one of the smart people in the world who don't claim that they know the future.
And don't respond to what's going on. I think we can look to one of the people I think you can trust in Wall Street, he's not with us anymore, but his name was John Bogle. He's one of the founders of the index fund, believing whichever version of index funds you believe. But John Bogle very famously said, nobody knows nothing. And what he was saying is nobody knows nothing about the future. We'd like to
call
think we
that,
do.
I call that the 3N theory of financial physics. It's actually in my book. Nobody knows nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, it sounds like three N's. I know one of the words has a K, but it still sounds like
close enough. No one knows anything about the future. That's number two. Number one. Number two, you already mentioned this. And like being a good Boy Scout, you are always prepared. Your portfolio is designed for good times. It's designed for bad times. It's diversified enough across asset classes, thousands of stocks, so that when some are crummy, by the way, we may be headed into a period not unlike the early 2000s when tech stocks and big stocks had lousy returns and smaller and value and international did better. You own all of those. So what can you do if all of these things come true? What can you do, Don? I already said the same exact.
Build the right portfolio because let me give you a great example.
And there's one other. There's one more.
Right portfolio for your risk.
Rebalance and keep your costs low.
Oh, keep your costs low.
Because if you keep your costs, that does put the odds in your favor. And you're one of the smart people listening to this podcast that knows. And we show you how to own portfolios for darn near nothing. And you get the right mix and you put the money in and you forget all about what happens day to day. Because there'll always be something.
If you need some really interesting proof, past performance proof, which is not indicative of future results, but if you look at 2000 to 2010, infamously known as the lost decade, people will tell you, you lost money in the stock market during that period. You would have lost money over that entire 10-year period in the stock market. That's because people use the S&P 500 as a proxy for the stock market. The S&P 500 is not. We would have, matter of fact, we did during that very same time, suggest that people own globally diversified portfolios for their risk tolerance. And if you were 100% invested in all the stocks, not just the S&P 500, you made about 7% per year or about 8% per year more than you made with the S&P 500. That's what diversification does for you.
So you were really smart around 2000. You said, let me get out of just the S&P 500 and diversify. So you're just a genius. That's all.
No, I basically just realized that diversification made more sense historically. Oh, okay. Right. When you look at the actual facts and figures, which I know, facts and figures, science, a little hard for some of you to swallow. I know, reality sucks, and you would love to live in a fantasy world, but the reality is, the facts back it up, that nobody can know the future. Gets so frustrating. Do you want to add anything else to that before I get you to a question?
Get me a question. Hit me.
This is from Elaine. She's in New York.
Oh, goodness. So now we're going to get the bad
Now you're going to get the bad accent.
Accent. Okay.
I think I need to rebalance my portfolio, but I'm not sure what direction to go. Wanted to let you know I found out about Talking Real Money on an ad listening to Clark Howard. I'm so glad I did. I have learned so much. I met with a fiduciary CFP, Certified Financial Planner, in May of 2018. At that time, I placed the following in Vanguard VUSFX. VUSFX.
Got to look that up. Isn't that?
Huh?
I don't know.
I can't remember because I've been doing ETFs so often now.
That's the Ultra Short Term Bond Index.
Okay, I thought it was short, but okay, cool.
It is short, yeah.
So she put, it's very short. She put $83,000 in her SEP into that, $83 in her IRA, $338 in her SEP, $126 in her Roth. She said, I'm retiring this year and contacted the CFP.
Wait, she all of her money in this one fund?
Yeah, And she has a fiduciary advisor, ready? They believe the stock and bond markets are still overpriced.
Oh, goodness sakes.
And that I should leave my funds in the VUSFX until the PE ratio is much lower. It was suggested, this is terrible advice, Elaine. It was suggested that I take out a reverse mortgage.
What?
And invest those funds.
No. Okay. This is not
home value approximately $250,000 just paid off in August. I will not collect Social Security until I'm 70, turning 68 in August. I contacted Vanguard to start withdrawing $4,000 a month from my SEP IRA. They want me to work with their advisor. I need to do something, but I'm not sure what. From what I read about reverse mortgages, I do not feel comfortable with doing that. Oh, Elaine.
Okay, first thing is you got to stop talking to the CFP. By the way, just because they're CFP, does not mean they're a fiduciary. Mm-mm. So you can't conflate those two.
In our opinion, this person gives terrible advice because what they're doing is predicting the future.
Yeah, they're saying we're going to wait for the PE ratio on stocks to go to X. When it does, we're going to jump in. And it might be on the way down. We don't know. You, at your stage of life, 68, need to have some exposure to stocks. Taking out $4,000 a month out of it sounded like about $500,000 might still work, but it will not. I guarantee this. It will not in the VUSFX.
No.
Because the yield there is 0.5% a year. It will not cover the growth you're going
to
need.
You are going to run out of money before you run out of life with this portfolio. This is such bad advice.
Yeah, it literally is horrible because these people are telling you to wait for something. You cannot wait. You need to have a portfolio that is built for what you're trying to achieve for the long haul. Let's just say that you're risk averse because you sound like you are. All right. How about having 40% of the money in stocks, 60% in bonds, and some additional bonds? This is very limited as to any sort of yield at all. At least have some intermediate, maybe even some shorter term government bonds in there. Rebuild this portfolio. You've got to have some stock exposure so the money will last you the 20 years. And you need to have, I mean, by the way, even before that, to see if you can draw out the 4% that will allow you to survive.
That's 8%, Tom. $4,000 a month.
That's $50,000 a year on 10. Yeah, you're right.
On 500,000. Yeah, that's an eight plus percent withdrawal rate. Now, I get it. She's going to do that for two. She'll do that for 2 years.
And then Social Security
will allow that to come down.
But that gets back to what I was saying. You got to have the plan first. Then you can start worrying about the withdrawals and how the portfolio is designed. That was horrible, horrible advice, period.
And that's what's wrong with this advice provider. This is not a true financial planning, registered investment, full fiduciary advisor, because they've got the cart ahead of the horse again.
Yeah, exactly.
They're talking about the portfolio before they talk about the needs and the wants and the fears and the client. The client, you are the important person in this equation, not the markets.
Yeah.
The markets don't matter. They don't.
They will be changed tomorrow, the next day, the next year.
We all need to stop focusing on the markets and start focusing on the us of this. That's the important part.
Okay, but going back.
Fire your advisor.
Yes, you need to fire your advisor. Number two, you need to find a fee only.
I don't care if they work with Vanguard. They're going to get better advice if they work with Vanguard than that.
That's true, by the way. So maybe that's a starting place because maybe they'll write you a little plan because Don's correct. Maybe you could afford to draw seven, and pardon me for the bad math earlier. Maybe you could afford to draw 7 or 8% a year out of the portfolio
for a little while.
That's going to decrease. But I can guarantee you this. If you leave it all in the Vanguard ultra short term bond fund, it won't happen. You will run out of money. That simply does have no growth in it whatsoever, period.
Sorry to be so.
It's been one of those days.
So harsh, but my goodness, your advisor's bad, and they're not a 100%.
No.
I don't think they're a one. I can't say that. Maybe they are, and they're just a bad fiduciary.
Yeah.
There are bad fiduciaries.
There are.
They're
like
bad.
Like everything else. Yeah.
Let's do one more.
Yep.
Chad has a question. It's pretty short. Portfolio allocation. He said, I've been listening to quite a few of your podcasts, and I think I could diversify a little more. Currently, I own VTI, which is the Vanguard Total U.S.
Yep. That's
stock ETF.
7,000 companies in the U.S., something like that.
VXUS, which is the Vanguard International ETF, and BND, which is the total bond market ETF. How would I determine what percentage of my portfolio to add to VNQ, VBR, and VWO? Thanks for your good info.
Okay, so VBR is small. I know that. VNQ, was that the other one? That's
VNQ,
the real estate?
VNQ, yes.
What was the third one you mentioned?
VWO. That's Volkswagen. That's Volkswagen.
Oh, why? That's okay, we're not using
No, Volkswagen. That's emerging markets. That's the emerging markets.
Okay, all right. Here's an easy way to do this. Okay, first of all, you got to figure out the stock-to-bond ratio overall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Got to do that. Let's just for sake of argument assume it's 70% stock. Oh, did he already say that? 50-50?
Oh, no. Okay, no. He has VTI, VXUS, and BND. So you're saying 70% stocks, 70 like something like, say, 70% stocks, 30% bonds.
Here's
this is for argument's sake.
Yeah, this is an easy way to do this. If it's 70-30, take 7% of the money and put it in the REIT. Take 7% of the money and put it in the emerging market. Mm-hmm. Then you can divide the remaining stock portion between the U.S., or no, that's right. We have the small in there too. I would take 20% of it, put it in the VBR.
20% of the equity portion.
Of the equity portion, and then divide the rest of it evenly between the U.S. and international. That's how I would do it.
Okay. Seems reasonable. So basically what we're saying is you have 30% in BND.
Yep.
If you have that,
if it's 70-30. If it's not, then you got to do the refiguring on the rest of it. But
So take out of the 70.
Mm-hmm.
7% of that.
7 for emerging.
And 20.
20 for the small.
For small cap.
And then the whatever's left divide between U.S. and international. I think that's a reasonable approach. Sure. Gives you a little more exposure to small. Still gives you good exposure to emerging markets and REITs. Yeah, I think you're okay there.
You know, I just really feel like we should do this. We should just do this. We should just do this. This is so short. We can really do this in no time.
Okay.
Kathy wants to know. She goes, I apologize if you've gone into detail as to which you recommend and why, but if you could please answer again, I would appreciate it. VT versus VTI.
Well, VT is the global stock fund. It's one exchange-traded fund operated by Vanguard that holds about 9,000 stocks globally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So basically, what VT is VTI and VXUS, which is the international fund. It's just all in one fund.
Yeah.
And they balance U.S. to non-U.S.
It's about 60-40. Yeah, it's okay.
60 U.S., 40,
sure.
Which is fine. Which is the nice thing about VT versus VTI, well, a couple of things. One, VT gives you the global diversification that VTI does not give you.
Thank you.
That we think is crucial. And VT saves you the trouble of building your own portfolio mixed between VTI and VXUS and trying to rebalance that every year. You just kind of let Vanguard do it.
And if you really want to get into it a little bit, you could take the VT, right? The global.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, again, doing a 70-30, you could put 50% of it in the VT, 20% in the VBR, that gives you some small, and then the other portion in the bonds.
That's gives a you very a little, little more bit in bonds. Yeah.
Yeah. It gives you a little bit, again, some exposure to small value that frankly you don't get much of, very, very, very little in the VT. That's my only criticism. But it's easy to handle. You're putting it in there and you don't got to worry about it. That's the part I love.
I think we did a good job getting through some questions today.
Okay.
Want a little help? Want a little more help than we can provide in our quick little questions here on the podcast or on the show? Just go to vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com. Set up an appointment with one of our advisors. You never know. Tom often sits in on those meetings. So you might get to hang out with Tom for a while. Most of you, you actually think that's going to be fun. And I'm glad you continue to think that. There are others.
That's not
who
my
think,
crazy laugh either. My crazy laugh. That's where you know I'm gone off the deep
that
end.
That was not my Hannibal Lecter laugh.
Thank you. We're the fava beans when you need them. Nah,
we'll have some fun.
Yeah, about that. We'll have some fun. Come on. We always do. There's fun and funds, both. There's no reason in my world to live without having a couple laughs. That's just the way I roll.
And a nice Chianti with some fava beans.
Exactly.
All right. We're wrapping this thing up, whatever we call this. We call it a podcast. We don't know what you call it, but we would appreciate it if you'd call us with your questions at 855-935-TALK or send them in or record them at talkingrealmoney.com. And most of all, we hope you'll share this with your friends. You know, if you found a particular episode you like, like the Blue Plate Special video cast,
which was awesome.
Share it with your friends. Yeah, if you didn't see the Blue Plate Special video cast on
pretty
YouTube
much
or at talkingrealmoney.com, you got to go watch it.
Don puts every day of the week meal up there. I mean, it's phenomenal. You got the Strogo, you got the, it was a chicken fried steak.
I'm still waiting for them to be FedEx down from
that's true.
Alabama.
You're close enough where you could still get them warm, probably.
Almost. Tell a friend. Oh yeah. Okay. Tell a friend,
please.
Oh, please, even if you don't use Apple Podcasts regularly, go to Apple Podcasts and follow the show. It helps raise our rankings. It's really powerful. And if you really like what you hear, leave us a review at Apple Podcasts or rate us on Spotify. I'm Don. Over there is Tom. We just hang around thinking about, reading about, listening about, and talking about real money.
Talking real money. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future, so past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit talkingrealmoney.com for more information and disclosures. That should keep the lawyers happy.